I don't like change, Angel. I don't sometimes. I walk into the studio. We have this giant monitor now. Apparently, engineer team put a new computer in here. And it's like lightning speed. I'm used to like taking 5 minutes looking up a story. This monitor is, look at this thing. Look how big that is. And as I walk in, it's this light blue glow just blowing me away. It freaks me out, man. It's to my left, painting the picture for the audience. Change scares me, man. This is weird.
No, when you work in the same, you know, room every single day, yeah. You get used to your little setup and
yes.
How things look in your periphery, and that's different now. I see a closed beer bottle there.
There's a beer bottle in here, too. So apparently the person, it's closed. Apparently the person that was putting the computer in was thinking about having a beer.
Couldn't celebrate.
A double milk stout is in here. So, I mean, you just never know. Luckily, there is always something I can, you know, feel comforted by. The 98-year-old stapler is still in here that doesn't work. It's been in this studio since I started as an intern, and nobody has ever taken it out. I don't think. I mean, what is a stapler in here for? Who is, like, printing papers and stapling stuff in here? Like, why was there ever a stapler in the talk studio? I don't understand.
You don't use a lot of paper in there.
Well, yeah, and there's no printer, so, like, you're like, hey, I want to print some stories, and it's a schedule or something, and I want to staple it together, but there's no printer in here.
Might just be something for Brian and Tanner to mess with.
Well,
bored.
That's what I'm... But again, it was here before them, you know, and that's what I don't get. There's tape in here. It's like an office in here.
It's weird.
Did somebody work in here at one point? I have no idea. Stuff just freaks me out, man. Change is a scary thing. Should the Broncos consider changing their quarterback this weekend for one weekend against the Jets to rest Russell Wilson? Maybe mentally, maybe physically. The fact that we're even, and again, he's hurt, but I'm seeing headlines. Speaking of, you got future headlines coming up in the third hour. Is it time to let Brett Rypien rip? Did you think you'd see that headline after 6 weeks of football?
No.
I mean, unless Russell was just like, he's out without a shadow of a doubt. Russell Wilson is out for several weeks. But now we're seeing it day to day with the, what is this one? It's his hamstring, right?
Yes.
So he had the shoulder deal. Now it's the hamstring. Hey, boy. I don't know. We're going to get into that. I didn't talk about this yesterday, but just how bad were things when Vance Joseph was the head coach for the Broncos? 6 weeks into the season. We'll talk about that. Vic Fangio, 6 weeks into the season. Do you recall, you were in college at that point, weren't you? Weren't you up here? Or were you? Vance Joseph's first year.
So I got here the summer of 2017. I remember one year of
that would have. You probably caught him in the second year. Then I was curious. Like, what was the vibe like? What was the vibe like around Vance Joseph 6 weeks in? What was the vibe like with Vic Fangio 6 weeks in? Because it was the second season where he had the big issues, like with the Tennessee Titans and not using his timeouts. The first season, I feel like there was a lot of leeway there. There was a lot of leeway with Vance. Of course, the reason there's no leeway with Hackett is because you brought in Russell Wilson. But if the Russell Wilson doubters are correct, that he just doesn't have it anymore, which is a scary, scary thought, because you will set this organization back another 3 to 4 to 5 years if you like try to get out of this contract somehow. Whether that's trading it, whether that's somehow releasing you, this is guaranteed money that you would owe, and it would really put a dent into what you can do going forward. Plus, it would present a dead organization. You know, no quarterback, and you spend a lot of money on that quarterback. Probably not going to spend a lot of money on another quarterback for a while. So I'm here to tell you, you're kind of stuck with this unless Russ retires. Like, that's where we are. Dixon says, would we really notice a difference if Wilson played injured? Maybe. Has he been hurt all year? I don't know. But doesn't matter. because tonight at 7 o'clock, the Denver Nuggets begin the 2022-2023 campaign, and let's rock and roll. No, let's rock. No,
let's dig.
Let's dig. Let's dig for bones. Bones Highland? Yeah, we have a lot. Dude, that's the thing about this Nuggets crew. Talk about a difference. And the Avs, too. But talk about a difference in, like, anticipation and excitement. There was anticipation and excitement for the Broncos, for sure. But this is legitimate. Because this team's been there. They've been to the playoffs. They've been to the Western Conference Finals. Same with the Avs. There's real optimism here. And I'm so for it. So excited about it. And Joker got a new haircut. You know what happens when Joker gets a new haircut. Fools get messed with. That's going to happen tonight. Who does Utah have? Like, is John Stockton on the team? I have no idea.
He's in their front office, maybe.
Somebody, like, no Rudy Gobert, no Donovan Mitchell. Who's good for Utah? They're not going to be a good team. Yeah, tell me their depth chart. Give me their depth chart. It's probably four guys I don't know and one guy I kind of know. Maybe let's see how close I am. I honestly couldn't tell you, right? And again, my brain sometimes forgets things. Once we get into the season, I'll be able to better think of the depth charts for teams. Give me somebody.
Here's the Jazz depth chart. Mike Conley.
Oh, okay.
You've seen him before.
Yeah, I know him.
Colin Sexton from the Cleveland Cavaliers. He went to Alabama, so I know him.
Is he good?
Yeah, he's pretty solid.
All right.
Jared Vanderbilt.
Oh, former Nugget.
Okay.
I actually knew that. Should have known that.
Kelly Olynyk.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
And Lauri Markkanen.
Should I know him? Probably should. Shouldn't I?
This doesn't have. It says Rudy Gay's on the team, but he's second string.
Yeah, I forgot about Rudy Gay.
Malik Beasley.
Ah, former Nugget.
That's about it.
Anybody else? Nothing else jumping out at you? Well, I mean, it was Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert's team. Mike Conley was a nice addition to that, and he had his moments where he was kind of his team for a little bit. And Rudy Gay, I mean, he's a good player, but this is who's their coach now? Who's Utah's head coach? Because it's not long hair. Dude, I am terrible with names today. Just awful, which sucks for our player of the week. Coming up in just a second. I don't even, like, who is the Jazz's head coach? I don't even, like, help me out, man. Who is
Will
this guy?
Hardy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Will.
William.
William Hardy.
Because we can't call coaches by their short names.
No. No, you can't. We learned that the hard way.
Michael.
It's Michael, and you best remember it. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Over or under? Now, I've seen 49.5. I've seen 49. I've seen whatever. I just went 49. Over or under 49 wins for the Nuggets? They getting 50-plus?
Absolutely. Do a little Charles Barkley here, and I will guarantee.
You guarantee it.
They get over 50 wins.
The tough part for the Nuggets is like the reverse of what the Broncos had. The schedule. It's not necessarily the teams. Like, I don't look at an NBA schedule and go, oh my gosh, they have a bunch of really tough teams, because they're going to play them all, and they're going to play, obviously, the teams within their division all the time. I just look at the road trips. You know, we talked about it. They're going to be road warriors pretty much in the month of November. So that's where that, if you're a little scared, a little skeptical of the 50, you're not making a lot, maybe you're not making a lot of progress on that 50 throughout the course of October and November. That's why the night is early, but these are important games. Like, you're at Utah, you're a 7.5-point favorite, you got to go win that game. And again, it's nothing's must win in the NBA until it 100% literally, not using the term loosely, literally is 100 or a must win. But these are the kind of games you look at and go, all right, we're at Golden State on Friday. Which I have some thoughts there, though. I have some thoughts on Golden State. I watched that game last night. OKC, who you're high on, you're kind of high on. You're a playoff high on them.
I think they're a sleeper team in the West. I don't know if they'll be, you know, a top four seed, but I think they could sneak into that play-in tournament and probably shock some people.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, maybe I just don't know anything about OKC.
I think the
Jazz
NBA
and OKC, I have no idea.
the league as a whole is really its most competitive it's been in a long time.
No doubt.
We went from all the super teams to where everyone kind of split off and is doing their own little duos.
Yes.
While the Nuggets have just been stacking players.
Growing their core, because Bones is now part of that Joker, Murray, Porter core, but adding a guy like Aaron Gordon and Bruce Brown and KCP. I love it. Again, I always draw comparisons to this, but very similar to what Golden State's done as they started rising to fame, was they had their core, and then they went out and got free agents like Andre Iguodala from the Nuggets, and that's when they started to stitch things together. Is it the right head coach? And that's what this year is about. This year is about is the year of determining whether or not Michael Malone is Mark Jackson, or do we already have our Steve Kerr? That's what we'll find out. So that's our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Over or under 49 wins for the Nuggets? Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the good for me, I love basketball. If I had to pick between football and basketball, boy, that's tough. Just depends, I suppose. But I love watching NBA basketball. I love watching college basketball. So much fun. Maybe because I was better at football playing and I was okay at basketball, I wanted to be better at basketball than football. And I just wasn't offensively there. So watching these freaks of nature excel in basketball just excites me so much. But it's back. We got the ring ceremony last night, which took 80 minutes forever.
It's the NBA.
Oh, my goodness. Draymond Green and Jordan Poole. Dude, names. It's gonna be one of those days, dude. There's no issues there. I am convinced. There's no issues there. They were clicking and firing off on all cylinders. Reggie Miller on the broadcast last night, he's like, dude, what the listeners or the viewers don't know, this happens weekly in the NBA. It happens weekly. Maybe it's good because we'll start seeing these tough-nosed Reggie Miller, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, Shaq-type guys. So, they didn't have a problem. It's fine. I do think the NBA and the world's treating Russell Westbrook unfairly, and we'll talk about that. But the good is the NBA's back, and the Nuggets are back tonight. The bad for me is Russ's day-to-day. Is that bad, though? Do we need a Russell Wilson break? And what does that even mean? Do we need a Russell Wilson break? And I think a lot of the hooligans and a lot of Broncos country would say, yeah, I'm a little rust out right now. And what freaking happens, Angel, if Brett Rypien comes out and he starts? We don't know what's going to happen. But let's assume that Brett Rippin's the starter on Sunday against the J-E-T-S Jets. And Brett rides, or he rips, and he's a stud. And you have 3 touchdowns and 267 yards and no picks and no sacks. And it's a perfect game, damn near. And the Broncos win. Maybe win big. What are we doing then?
From my TV experience, going on a break is not a good idea. It didn't end well for Ross and Rachel.
It did not end. It
kind of did.
It ultimately came back, but
it took
season after
seasons.
Season. And Russ doesn't have 10 seasons.
He has 7.
We don't have 10 seasons of an average to good 30-minute sitcom. We don't have that. We have what we have. We got to cook. We got to ride. We got to get it going. The ugly, I just changed it on you, Angel. Gabriel Landeskog, knee surgery. He's going to miss 12 weeks for the Colorado Avalanche. So that is a bummer for the Avs, the captain, all that. So 12 weeks. However, if there's a team to do it in the NHL, doesn't it seem like it would be the Colorado Avalanche? They're deep. They've got the roster. So that's a bummer. Terrible, terrible news to start the day. And before we break here, we got a shout out here. I did it a little bit later. I didn't get to it yesterday because I was so pissed about the Broncos loss. But we do have our whole show player of the week presented by Zvi Brewing, and that is Montana. Go on.
Montana Lemonious Craig.
Lemonious Craig! Where art thou? 8 receptions, 119 yards, and the game-winning touchdown. Wow. Was he in? The heel? They called it a touchdown initially, didn't they? And then they reviewed it.
I believe so.
Man, it's pretty, though. That is as close as it gets, because it's like, he's in college, you got to have the one down. His heel is like on a blade of grass, coming off of the blade of grass as the ball is in his hands. Like, was
he's
it?
Like fully extended,
yeah,
trying to catch this ball.
It was an amazing play. I mean, he could have won player of the week just off of that. When I first saw it, I said no. But then you slow it down, and it's like, that heel might have been right there, bro. So they gave it to him. So it's a touchdown. And we know the Buffs got the dub. I'm trying to see here. Yeah, official review. So did it stand or was it overturned? I think it stood. I think they called it a touchdown. I don't know.
I think the safe thing for those refs in that situation is to call it a touchdown on the field.
Yeah.
And if it's not, it's easy to overturn.
Yeah, because you're going to review that regardless. So congratulations to Montana Lemonious, Craig. Guys, I hope he wins a lot of these. I tell you what, my player of the week thing, though, it's going to get more complicated, isn't it? Because we've got Avs to pick from, Nuggets to pick from, Broncos, Buffs, Rams, Falcons, Cowboys, Bears. Bears again, Rams, Falcons, Buffs, Cowboys, because we got college basketballs in like, what, 20 days or 25 days or something like that? It's going to be a great time. What a great time to be alive. Nuggets back at it tonight. The quest for perhaps their very first NBA title begins tonight against the Utah Jazz. B-Rad texting in. Ooh, this is depressing. Just putting it on paper like this, teams starting quarterbacks. Oh, my. Look at this, Angel. B-Rad, where'd you get this? Is this legit? Probably. Check this out, dude. Offense, like, points per game under these quarterbacks. Peyton Manning. Give me a guess. Peyton Manning.
28.3.
28.4. Well done. Gus Frerotte. That might be before your time, but just throw out a number. You'll probably be right.
21.7.
24.2. He played in 7 games. Steve Berline, probably before your time. He played in 5 games.
15.3.
24. Yeah, we're going down. Brian Griese, 38 games.
24.
22.7. Jake Plummer. He played in 54 games.
25.
22.6. Jay Cutler, 37 games.
It's going to be under 20. No, 21?
20.8. So close. Drew Locke, 21 games. Drew Locke, baby.
22.
19.8. Teddy Bones, 14 games.
17.
19.8. Case Keenum, 16 games.
I mean, 18.
19.6. Kyle Orton, here's a who. 33 games.
23.
19.6. Trevor Siemian.
18.3.
18.5. Brock Osweiler, 11 games.
20.
18.4. Tim Tebow, 14 games.
Say under 20.
17.9. Brandon Allen, 3 games.
Way under 20.
16.6. Joe Flacco, average Joe Flacco.
Under 20.
15.6. Paxton Lynch, 4 games.
Under 20.
15.
There's a trend here.
Russell Wilson,
under
14.8.
Yikes.
Is that right? It's probably right.
It feels about right.
Tim freaking Tebow. Led an offense that averaged more points per game than Russell Wilson. What are we talking about here? What are we doing here? This is ridiculous. I don't understand. Make this better. Somehow, somebody, please. Justin Simmons is calling out the leadership, and he should, and he did it in a very nice way because Justin's a very nice guy. But he said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Like, stop running out of the shotgun. Stop it, please. We'll see what happens. 25 minutes after the hour, over or under 49 wins for the Denver Nuggets. Go vote at thewholeshow.com, and we'll see how this one wraps up by the end of the show today. Plenty to discuss, short time to do it. Just what was the vibe like when Vic Fangio started and Vance Joseph started? We'll talk about it next.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Just how bad was it under the recently fired coaches with Vic Fangio and Vance Joseph when they started things out a few years ago? In 2017, that was Vance Joseph's first year with the Broncos. Trevor Siemian was his quarterback. Was it Jamaal Charles was the running back then, if you can go back that far? The Broncos started out before they had a bye week in week five. Before the bye week, Angel, they were 3-1. They lost to Buffalo 26-16. But they beat the Chargers. They beat the Cowboys 42-17. They beat Oakland at the time 16-10. Then they go on the bye. They come out, and it got ugly. I mean, they were 3-1 before the bye, and they didn't get another win until Sunday, December 10th, against the Jets. So they lost 8 in a row after going 3-1. But first 6 weeks in, you're going 3-3 under a new head coach with Trevor Siemian. Oh, okay. Maybe this works. And then things just kept getting worse for Vance Joseph. It was bad. The cries for moving on from him were big. But again, it was Trevor Siemian and Brock Osweiler back into the fold, if you'll remember. And he played three games, something like that. But it wasn't like this. I don't remember it being quite like this. Vance went on again. They started 3-1, and they ended the season 5-11. So obviously, it was kind of doomed after that bye week. But there was a glimmer of hope. There was a glimmer of hope at least through four games. You were 3-1. Has there been the realistic glimmer of hope for Nathaniel Hackett? You beat Houston and you beat San Francisco, which then at the time they beat San Francisco, everyone's like, Jimmy Garoppolo's just kind of getting back into the swing of things. There was excuses, and I'm not saying they were wrong or right, whatever. But the glimmer of hope has been two wins. And one was against arguably the worst team in the league, and the other was a team trying to figure it back out with Jimmy Garoppolo. So you had some kind of hope there. And it was, again, the expectations weren't. It's a new coach replacing Gary Kubiak. Expectations were probably not to go back to the playoffs that year, whether we said it or not. Now, Vic Fangio's first year was a little bit more rough. In 2019, when he was hired, they started out the gates 0-4, then won back-to-back games, beating the Chargers and the Titans. Ended the season much better, though. It was kind of the reverse of Vance Joseph. Vic went on to coach a 7-9 season. That was the Drew Lock year. That was the year Drew Lock came in and played the final five games, and the Broncos went 4-1. And what did Victor do? Hey, we got this young quarterback that might be the guy. He just replaced Joey Flacco, who wouldn't even give like Drew a high five. He went out and beat the Chargers in his first game as a starter. 134 yards. He went out and beat the Texans with 309 yards. Lost to the Chiefs pretty badly, 23-3. That was the snow game. Went out and beat Detroit with 192 yards. Beat the Raiders, 16-15. 177 yards. And what did Vic do? Let's replace his offensive coordinator. Let's get a different offensive coordinator in here. Let's get Pat Shurmur in here and mix him in with Drew Lock. And that was the last we saw of really, you know, production-worthy Drew Lock.
Sounds like you could have had something there.
Again, why change? These people are out thinking themselves, man. What was it, Rich Scangarello? Was the offensive coordinator for the Broncos at the time. And you just showed, you went 4-1 to end the year. I mean, what did we say about, who were we talking to yesterday? Oh, Mike Brohard from CSU, Rams.com. You know, this season might be, he didn't say it's a lost cause, but it might be for CSU. They're probably not going to win a Mountain West title. I think we can agree on that. A bowl game's probably going to be very difficult for CSU to qualify for. But you want to try to finish off on the right note. I remember Mel Tucker, his 1 year with CU, they weren't very good. But it was how they finished. And suddenly Buffs fans were like, whoa. Seriously, it was, he did so good at the end of that year that Michigan State hired him. Based on what? Based on potential. So you had a potential quarterback there. Instead you fire his offensive coordinator at the time. But you were averaging more points than you're averaging now. I mean, they weren't averaging much. It wasn't much better. But they did have a game within the first 4 weeks where they scored 24. They scored 20 against the Chargers. They scored 24 against the Browns. 23 against the Vikings. 23 against the Chargers. 38 against the Texans. Oh, my. 27 against the Lions. So it wasn't great, but why change it when you see something kind of working at that point? The whole point, though, again, with this is Vance Joseph had a glimmer of hope in those first 6 weeks. Vic Fangio, with Joe Flacco in his prime, it was scary right off the bat. But it still wasn't quite like this. It was rough. But you won two games in a row to go 2-4. So they kind of went into the way the Broncos are doing it, opposite. So you gave Broncos country a little bit of hope right there. Then you get smoked by the Chiefs 30-6. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It was, there was certainly time, but Vic Fangio obviously didn't scare John and the fan base enough to force him out because he went on to coach two more seasons. Vance seemed clueless and that he didn't quite have maybe that leadership thing, at least for now. Vic was well respected, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but just wasn't a very good game manager either. I didn't like how the lack of attention he gave to the offense, especially when they had a quarterback battle last season. But nothing has been as bad as this. Josh McDaniels, you want to go back to other coaches. Josh McDaniels, failed coaches, start out 6-0. So obviously for his first six, it was like, what did we just stumble upon? And then it ended badly. So I guess you can look at Vic Fangio and Josh McDaniels and go, well, or no, Vance Joseph and Josh McDaniels and go, well, they started off pretty good, and then things got really bad. Maybe you get the reverse with Nathaniel Hackett, or you can be Vic Fangio. Started off pretty bad, and then middle was okay, ended 1 year was kind of good, and then the rest was bad. It was an interesting poll question yesterday. Will Nathaniel Hackett be fired by the end of the season? If you go 0-2 here, are they moving on? Are they really going to make that fire? I just don't think so.
I think you would have to lose the next two games, and you would have to lose them in a way where the blame can be put on Hackett rather than Wilson.
If you have like a bizarre, like let's say there's three major calls in the game that are just like, what is he doing? Then maybe. But this, the way this defense is playing, you're not going to get blown out. This defense isn't going to give up that many points. So if you can find a way to score 10 in the first half like Denver did, you're going to be within a shot to win a game, I think. I'm not saying they're going to win by scoring 10. But if you can score 20, you probably win a game. You're probably going to win some games because I think this defense is that good. We're scoring over 20 on them is difficult. It's a tall task. But again, here we are with Russell Wilson and not knowing if he's going to play on Sunday or what. All right, 40 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Before we break, let me do a shout-out here for On the Rocks Liquor. Game beer of the week. This one's from Berthoud Brewing. It's Sam's Orange Ale. Pick up selections from Berthoud Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru or come inside. Open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Love what these guys do. The best liquor store around. John and Tony, we absolutely love working with you. 41 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Hope you guys chime in on the poll question today. And let's see. I think most people think it's over. I mean, most people think it's over 49. Let's see right now. Go to thewholeshow.com. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Over or under 49 wins for the Nuggets this season? 66% saying over. I thought we'd be a little higher than that. Skeptical because of the road schedule, getting Jamal and MPJ back into the fold kind of deal?
Yeah, and I think that's warranted skepticism. I know we're all excited just to see all three of them back together again and playing, and hopefully by the time we get to the end of the season, that's gelled and the chemistry is there and we feel good about it. But right now, that excitement is just being overshadowed by, I hope they can get back to what we think they can be with Jamal. Hopefully, can he clear that mental hurdle? It looks like he has, but
yeah.
You never know until you're playing. And with Michael, can he get out of his own head a little bit and just go relax and play basketball?
He might be ahead of the game a little bit because he was, he was cleared, air quotes there, to go in the playoffs, right? And he didn't go, which that to me, that's neither here nor there. You got to be right. You got to be right mentally, physically. I get it. Look at Robert Griffin III, RG3. I think he was cleared medically to play, and then he mentally wasn't right. And the Shanahan situation kind of ruined his career.
No, it did. That injury completely knocked him out.
Yeah, and he didn't recover the right way. Should have taken more time. Didn't. So we'll see. Go vote. Oh, it just went up to 69%. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Method Flow Products poll question, over or under 49 wins for the Nuggets. Kevin Lytle tweeted out the 2022 Mountain West preseason poll. We got San Diego State for the this Mountain West basketball, men's basketball, by the way. San Diego State, Wyoming. Wyoming's going to be good. They're going to be really good. Boise State, and then Colorado State at 4. Now, this was probably put together. Kevin told us this was all put together before Isaiah Stevens went down. Does that hold water with Isaiah Stevens out for several? Now, again, Isaiah will come back maybe to start Mountain West play or a week or two in. Not sure. With basketball, I always hear the number they give me, and I add on like 2 or 3 weeks. That's what I've just kind of been doing. Probably worse, right? I mean, I don't know much about New Mexico or UNLV right now, but if you thought they were going to be 4 with Isaiah Stevens, that guy's such a difference maker, they're probably closer to middle of the pack. I mean, I like Tanjay. I like some of these players, but I don't know that they are going to have, without that superstar guy for CSU, I mean, even college, you got to have a go-to. You got to have that guy. And Roddy and Stevens, Roddy was the guy first and foremost, but now it was supposed to be Stevens. And yeah, without that, I think they'd be lucky. But then again, he gets back around Mountain West play. So these standings, obviously, it matters what you do in the conference. That's what it's all about in college sports, what you do in your conference. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Got a cool event coming up for you guys. Battleground Pro Wrestling presents November Pain at the Greeley Rec Center, downtown Greeley. Again, that's November 5th. Doors open at 5:30. Former WWE superstar Brian Kendrick will be taking on Gino Told You So Rivera in the main event. Wrestlers from New Mexico, California, Indiana, Oklahoma, Nevada, and Colorado are going to be rocking and rolling there at the Greeley Rec Center. Seating is limited, so get pre-sale tickets at BattlegroundProWrestling.com. That's BattlegroundProWrestling.com. Check them out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, BattlegroundProWrestling.com. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. What did a certain McCaffrey have to say about the Christian McCaffrey trade rumors? We're going to talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and Their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
The funniest thing is I might know, like, from social media before I know from real life. And Christian also, because it's out of his hands. We're just... it's a waiting game. It's there, you know, people I'm sure are negotiating and whatnot, but, or then maybe they're not. I'm saying, I don't know, but Adam Scheffner, who I know from way back when he used to cover the Broncos, he's awesome. He was our good friend. I'm like, do you think I want to call him so badly and say, look, do you mind just tweeting this out after these games? We're in the middle of these like college games. I know it may not be important to you, but can you just wait till they're done before you send a tweet like that out? Rocks my world, buddy. Come on. So
you should call him.
I know. I almost did. I've called him before over other stupid things, and he's great sense of humor. He's a nice guy, but I'm like, dude,
he is a good guy.
Can you just kind of have a little like sympathy and or understand the situation? No.
Yeah.
That was Lisa McCaffrey, UNC Bears head coach, Ed McCaffrey's wife, superstar NFL running back Christian McCaffrey's mom. Talking about it, that's her podcast, right?
Yes. So she has a podcast called Your Mom, where she basically talks with other sports moms and athletes' moms,
which is kind of a cool concept.
It's fun. It's a different world of sports that we don't often look at.
Right. I kind of like the concept of that because my wife always talks about watching football, and she's like, I just wonder how they're. Parents feel watching these guys like Matt Ryan's mom watching him go up against the Broncos when he just looked disheveled and torn apart. It would be devastating. So it's very interesting. Now, obviously, that's all kind of in jest, right? I think she's just messing around, but it kind of made some. It was trending on Twitter. I saw it trending. So good for her.
I think it's kind of funny because, like, if you talk to Ed or if you ever meet Lisa, she's super nice. I've met her once. But
yeah.
She loves her kids.
Yes.
She absolutely loves all four of her boys, and they're all involved in football, and their weekends are just football, football, football. She's trying to watch Luke over at Rice. She's got Dylan and Max here. Ed here is cool.
At least three of them are in
Christian's
one spot.
Either injured or trade reports every other day, and gets her updates from Adam Schefter like the rest of us do. So even his own mom doesn't know what's going on.
It just goes to show you how, like, Christian doesn't even, like, hey, Mom, I might get traded to so-and-so.
That's how these insiders work.
They don't, like, Christian doesn't even know. Isn't that crazy? Obviously, some people going at it on a negative. I took it as she's messing around. Like, come on, Adam. Can you wait until the season's over? Well, by the time the season's over, the trade deadline will be over, so the news will come out. It's a very tight-knit, unique family, the McCaffreys. I think we're going to have Coach Ed McCaffrey on tomorrow, so I might have to bring that up. But I think that's a cool... I like the podcast idea. That's a unique idea. So good for her, man. Let's see if we can get Lisa on the show. Let's do that. I want to promote that podcast. 11:56 the time. So we'll do the lunch rush today we'll do it at 12:15. I do have Brendan Vogt going to join me and talk all things Nuggets from DNVR Nuggets. So I'm very much looking forward to that. We got Mark Johnson talking about those Colorado Buffaloes. Mike Sanford 1-0 as the interim head coach of the CU Buffs. Can they keep it going against Oregon State? We've got that. We've got something fun to get you geared up for Nuggets Jazz tonight as well. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.